right after the book of Joshua, right after the first five books of your Bible, books of the law, the Pentateuch through Moses, Joshua, Judges, chapter 11. We got a couple of thank you cards we were supposed to read earlier. We forgot. Let me give them to you. Amen. We have one that says, "Blessed are the givers." Hopewell Baptist Church of Hamlet and dear pastor friend. And great, we're grateful to receive. Thank you so much for the special love offering. That's Wilson and Etta Calvin, our missionaries to, amen, the Navajo Indians, amen. So they want to, he's back home, healing up from his surgery. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. So he wanted to thank the church for the special offering we sent towards them. Also, you have a caring heart and a generous spirit. Just wanted to thank you for your kindness. Thanks for the money you gave to help get the head marker on Brother Buck's grave. Amen. So if we church send some money to help to get Preacher Buck's tombstone grave head marker up, amen. It means so much to me that you would consider doing this. I miss coming to the fellowship and meeting so much. Working 6 days a week and getting off too late to make it. Please keep me in your prayers. And I always pray for your preacher and church. Amen. I am so grateful that my life has been touched by both. Love and prayers, Vicki Bowen. That's Brother Buck Bowen's wife. Amen. The church was able to send some money to help with his tombstone marker. Amen. Great man of God gone. Amen. Thank God we can help out and help her. Amen. Preacher's wife working 6 days a week now. Amen, sir. Never know what you'd be faced with. Amen. Thank God we can be a blessing to them. Amen. Judges chapter number 11, verse 29, where we'll start tonight. We've been dealing with this man Jephthah. As we saw, if you look back in verse number 1, Jephthah the Gilite, a mighty man of valor. He was the son of an harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. So we have this guy Jephthah. He's born of a harlot. His father slept around with a strange woman, according to verse number 2, on his wife, and conceived Jephthah, and he was born of that harlot. And when his other brothers from his father's wife, or his actual wife that he didn't have an affair with, she had children together. And then when they got older, they outcast Jephthah. Said, "We didn't want nothing to do with this guy. He don't fit in with our family. He wasn't born from our mother. He was born from this strange woman, this harlot that our daddy slept with." And so they ran him off, wanted nothing to do with him. But God said he was a mighty man of valor. And we looked at the first couple of verses in this chapter, and we preached on the fact of how Jephthah didn't let it make him bitter, but it made him better. Yeah. Amen. A lot of times things in this life can make you bitter if you're not careful, and what God wants to do is make you better. He was outcast, amen, because I'm like some of us, amen, outcast, not counted to be nothing, amen, but thank God God has saved us and made something out of us. And so that's Jephthah's story. And so they came and, you know, when troubles came, the children of Ammon rose up against him, against the people of Israel, and they called for Jephthah to come back and be their leader, and he came back and was their leader, and led them in battle against the Ammonites and defeated the Ammonites. And that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit more tonight. And I want to preach to you on this thought about Jephthah. This is the third series of messages we've dealt with him on. I'm going to preach to you about Jephthah's heartbreak. His heartbreak. Amen. He was in a harlot son, an outcast, done great things for the Lord, fought against the children of Ammon. God used him to defeat the children of Ammon. Showed him some favor back with his family that had kicked him out. Sooner or later, as we said when we studied that, amen, you serve the Lord. People that don't want nothing to do with you are going to need you. So keep your head high, keep your spirits with the Lord, do what's right, and try to keep your life right, because one day somebody's going to need your help, amen. Just like the prodigal's father, he couldn't sell the farm, he stayed in there, and it came a day the prodigal needed to come home, and he had a place to come. So this world's going to need you, just keep serving the Lord. They might mock you, speak evil of you, amen, but when trouble comes, they know who they can come to on the job and say, "Hey, how about remember me in your prayers? Tell the church tonight to pray for me." That's how it usually happens, amen. You just keep serving the Lord. But his heartbreak comes, and heartbreak comes to people that serve the Lord also. Amen. Verse number 29, we'll look at it a little bit tonight. The Bible said, "Then the Spirit of the Lord," you see that? "Came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon." So this is after the Lord, the Spirit of God came upon him. It's showing the direction that he took to go fight the children of Ammon. And the Bible said in verse 3, "And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, If thou shalt with all fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hand." So what you have going on here, here's the picture. Jephthah has been called by his own family to come back and be the leader of the children of Israel to fight against the Ammonites that's come to attack them. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon Jephthah and leads him out to fight in this war. And Jephthah stops and vows a vow to God. And he's about to tell the Lord, "You know, Lord, you take care of me. You deliver the children of Ammon into my hand. I'll do thus and thus with you." And this is what happens. The Bible said in verse number 30 again, "And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering." So here's Jephthah's vow. You know how it goes. One of the hardest places in your Bible is what we're talking about tonight. Some stuff you don't do, but kind of just, like some of you doing, because you know where it's heading. You shake your head and think, "Man, what in the world? How'd that happen?" But here's what happened. Jephthah, the mighty man of valor, God's used him. God's Spirit's upon him. God's sending him out to fight the children of Ammon. And he makes a vow and he says, "God, when you deliver the children of Ammon into my hand, when I come back to my home, when I step back on my property, the first thing I see, I'm going to give it to you as a burnt offering." Now, surely Jephthah's probably thinking, "No, some turkey, some chicken, some rooster maybe going to step out, you know. Maybe one of his sheep, something that's roaming out in the field. And he's going to offer that turtle dove or whatever as an offering to the Lord and saying, 'Thank you, God, for delivering me.'" But that ain't what comes forth. Look what happens here. Bible said in verse 32, "So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hand." So Jephthah's made a vow. God's kept his side and said, and delivered them. Verse 33, "And he smote them from Arar even till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances. And she was his only child. Beside her he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass, when he saw her, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back.'" If that wasn't strange, verse 36, "And she said unto him, 'My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which thou hast proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon.' And she said unto her father, 'Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows.' And he said, 'Go,' and he sent her away for 2 months. And she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed. And she knew no man, and it was a custom in Israel that the children of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gittite, 4 days in a year." Brother John, how about pray for us tonight? Amen. As we look at this story here tonight in the Word of God, a literal account of what Jephthah had vowed and how God had delivered on his side and what happened when he offered his daughter as a sacrifice, which is offering a human sacrifice is pagan, by the way. Amen. It's devilish. It's not committed or approved of in the Word of God. It is what pagan religions did. Thus we get the title of Jephthah's heartbreak tonight in verse 35, where he said, "It came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, 'Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord and I cannot go back.'" After this great victory, I mean, you got to kind of think about Jephthah tonight. We talked about him a little bit in his introduction to kind of keep you up, bring you up to date where we've been with the story here with Jephthah. How he was the outcast son of a harlot, and he was forsaken by his other brothers and sisters. His brother didn't want nothing to do with him. You know, he wasn't from their mother. He was from that harlot lady, and they ridiculed him. They despised him. They eventually ran him away. Jephthah went away. We can tell by the things that Jephthah done when he came back and how he communicated with the Lord, and even the fact the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, that he did not allow that to make him bitter. It made him better. It gave him a relationship with God. He knew about God. He knew about the things of God according to how his daughter acts, and we'll look at it tonight. He had some standards in his home. He had raised his family the right way. Amen. A man that had the beginning that thought, hey, he's never going to succeed. He wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He was despised, rejected, poor, nobody. Amen. But God made something great out of this guy, made something great out of his daughter. Amen. And he had some characters in his life that we need in our life. But he had some heartbreak here in the end, where he had to offer up his only child. After a great victory against the children of Ammon, he comes out. You imagine, here he goes out, outcast by his brother. They come and get him back. He goes and leads the great victory over the children of Ammon. It's like, man, things are starting to go the right way. Amen. His brothers have accepted him. They've made him head and king over them. God has delivered the children of Ammon in his hand. Hey, how just a couple of days later, he was outcast all by himself. He wasn't invited to the Christmas dinners or the Thanksgiving outings with the family. Now everybody loves him. Now the city's praising him. Now God has used him, and he came back with a great victory over the children of Ammon. To see his daughter there, that the vow he had made, that whatever he saw, he would offer it to the Lord, and brought him back low again. You know, sometimes it feels like that in our lives, don't it? Amen. I'm struggling. Things are rough. Kind of get a little space of grace. Things kind of pick up. Then like it's going the right direction. And then the bottom gets swept out from under you. Your feet get knocked down. And you thought, man, here we are going good. And now here we are, heartbreak city all over. Nobody likes heartbreak. Nobody likes despair. Nobody likes anguish in their lives. But here's Jephthah with the heartbreak of his life. If it wasn't bad that his brothers didn't want nothing to do with him, and that was bad. I could, you know, it's hard to imagine. They didn't want anything to do with it. Outcast. A nobody. We can relate to some of that, us tonight, amen. Hey, we've not been handed the nice things, amen. It's been rough in life. It's been a struggle. But you look back and say, thank God for the struggles. It's made character in our lives. It's made us what we are today by the good grace of God. But to get a little relief, get a little bit of excitement, seem like things are going well, to just get knocked back down on your back all over again. And this is a heartbreak that you can't compare. It doesn't compare to his brothers not wanting him. This is his own daughter, his only child. He didn't have any more. Now he's offering her as a sacrifice. I'm going to give you a couple of things tonight that I believe out of this passage can be real practical to us that we need to learn from Jephthah. Number one, I see the moving of the Spirit of God. Do you know what we need in our lives? We need the moving of the Spirit of God. And I'll say this, amen. After the moving of the Spirit of God, you mark it down, the devil's going to fight.
Amen.
I mean, it was the moving of the Spirit of God that started all this transaction that got it all going, that delivered the children from the children of Ammon, that delivered the children of Israel, that ultimately, amen, led to heartbreak in his life, amen. Heartbreak. But we need the moving of the Spirit. Look at verse 29. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. And he passed over Gilead and Mizpah, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and passed from Mizpah of Gilead, he passed over into the children of Ammon. So God's Spirit came upon him and began to move him. This is, as we studied the book of Judges, some of you have been here since the beginning of the study, this is the third account of the Spirit of God moving upon an individual. Amen. I won't preach it and rehash it, amen, but I will give you a couple of notes. If you look with me in Judges chapter number 3, verse number 10, we have Othniel. It's the first time the Spirit of the Lord moved upon somebody in the book of Judges. Judges chapter number 3. The Spirit of the Lord moved upon Othniel. Chapter 3, look in verse number 10 it is. If you've been taking notes through the study, you got some of this stuff, you go back and refer to it, write it in these notes, refer back to Othniel in chapter 3, verse 10. But in chapter 3, verse 10, it says this. The Bible said in verse chapter 3, verse 10, let me get there. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. When did it do it? Amen. The Bible said in verse 9, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. This is the first time it happens in the book of Judges. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. If you study out in your Bible, I'll throw this stuff back at you. You can go back and write and look it up later if you wrote some stuff down. But the work of the Spirit of God is different in the Old Testament than it is in the church age today. It would come upon an individual in a different extent to empower him, even though the Spirit of God will empower you today to serve him. But the Spirit of God abides within you as a believer forever now. Amen. When you got saved, the Spirit of God moved inside of you. Now we need His manifestation. We need His power. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. It's within us. But it come upon these Old Testament individuals. But it only came upon Him. It was in them also. It just wasn't in them with the sealing of the Holy Ghost that we have today, which is a whole other study that I'm not trying to get into tonight. But you'll see the Spirit of God in the Old Testament. And if you study that thing in the Old Testament, we studied Othniel here and the Spirit of God came upon him. You see the Spirit of God in the Old Testament with a lowercase s. Now, you know when you see the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, capital S for the most part, you know that is the Holy Spirit of God. And some people are saying the Old Testament is not the Holy Spirit of God because it's a lowercase s. But that's not so. You need to understand how to study your Bible. When the Bible said when David was praying over there in Psalms 51 after he had sinned, you know what he had done? And he said, take not the Holy Spirit from me. If you look up that in Psalms 51, that s is a lowercase s. You know that take not the Holy Spirit from me is the Spirit of God. But it's in a lowercase s. And the reason why it's in a lowercase s in the Old Testament is because the Holy Ghost is not revealed as a person until the New Testament. In the New Testament, you know the Holy Ghost is a person. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. And in the New Testament, when you get that knowledge of it, that's when the writers, when they pin down your book right, this King James Bible got it right. Amen. Every jot, every tittle, every capital letter, every lowercase letter was right. And there was a reason why it became capitalized in the New Testament. But the Spirit of God came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord is not revealed as a person until John 15. But when he was revealed as that, you see it as a capital S. Contrary to what many teach, the Spirit of the Lord as mentioned as in the people in the Old Testament and other places. He not only came upon them, he came in them. Amen. So a lot of people say, the reason why God, the Spirit would leave them because it was on them, but if it ever got in them, it never leave them. They try to make it match New Testament doctrine, which it does not. The Spirit of God came to live in you permanently. And yes, you're sealed to the day of redemption. But in that Old Testament, it's completely something different. It would come upon them, but it also would be in them. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. David prayed that it would not leave him. Amen. So in some cases it left, some places it never came back, some places it came back. Saul it left and it never recorded that it came back on him. We'll study Samson later on in the book of Judges. The Spirit of God would come upon him and leave him, and then it would come upon him and leave him and go back and forth. Amen. In David's life he prayed that it never went away, and by God's grace, as far as the Scriptures know, it never left him. So the Spirit of God, it never leaves the New Testament believer. Ephesians chapter number 1, Ephesians chapter number 4, Hebrews chapter 13. Thank God the Spirit of God is in us forever. We've been adopted, the Bible says, into the family of God. We are spiritually circumcised, amen. You know these words. We can study them a little more in detail. We did it in the past. I'm not trying to go back over. We are redeemed. We're the children of God. We are sealed till the day of redemption, amen. Thank God for the Spirit of God's work in our life. But Othniel was the first one when the Spirit of God came upon him. The second one was who was it? Gideon, excuse me. I can't even get his word and name to come out. Amen. It came upon Gideon. And you find that in Judges chapter 6 and verse 34. And then here it comes upon our fellow Jephthah. Amen. This is the third account of the Spirit of God coming upon them. The only other person that it comes upon in your in the book of Judges is Samson. Well, you have it on Othniel first. You have it on Gideon second. You have it on Jephthah. And then you have it on Samson. But you have it in Samson. It comes upon him three different times. Amen. Three different times. Just a spiritual little thought here I'm going to throw at you. Amen. Hey, if you're going to have the Spirit of God upon you in your life, we need what they needed. Number one, you know what they did to cause the Spirit of God to come upon Othniel? Somebody cried out to God. Amen. So if you got the Spirit of God's power in your life, you need to call out to God. There'd be some prayer life, amen. God, fill me with thy Spirit. God, use me, empower me, amen. And if that prayer could bring the Spirit of God upon Othniel, prayer can bring the Spirit of God's power and manifestation in our life. Reason why the Spirit of God's not manifesting much in our lives, there's not much prayer for the power of the Spirit of God. Because the charismatics have scared badness away from the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm not talking about some jibber-jabber falling out. I'm talking about the Spirit power that leads you to do a work for God. You know, if you study Jephthah, and if you study Gideon, and if you study Othniel, and if you study, when we will later, Samson, when the Spirit of God came upon every one of these individuals, it came upon them to do a work. That's the power of the Spirit of God. That's what he went over in Acts. When the Spirit of God came upon them, they spake the Word of God with boldness. The Spirit of God's power is to empower you to do a work for God. That's what he said in Acts chapter 1. The Spirit of God come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me. What's that? That's a work. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth, the Spirit of God empowers you to work for Him. Who cares, Max, and you get a hold of that? Amen. People think the Spirit of God's on me. That means I say something nobody understands. I prophesy where I got to have an interpreter so somebody to get it. I fall out and nobody understands why I'm falling out. And they had to cover me up because my skirt's over my head. All that kind of foolishness, amen. That is not Bible, amen. The Spirit of God comes upon you to do a work for God. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to work for God.
Amen.
Problem is, people's filled with a whole lot of other stuff.
Yeah, amen.
That's why they're not working for God.
Amen.
They cried. The Holy Ghost came upon Othniel and used him. There's a cry for the prayer for the Holy Ghost's power. Secondly, I see it on Gideon. When did the Holy Ghost come upon Gideon? It came upon him after he tore down the altars of Baal. And then God empowered him to go further. There's principles here, church.
Yeah.
You want the Spirit's power in your life, you're going to have some prayer. Ask God to use you. Ask God to empower you. Empty yourself of yourself. Tear down the altars of Baal.
Amen.
God's not going to equip and empower a filthy vessel.
Amen.
God's in there, but if you want His power and His manifestation, you've got to clean your life up. Gideon went out and he tore down the altars of Baal and said, hey, we're going to worship the true and living God. And the Spirit of God came upon him after the altars were tore down. So it came after prayer, it came after the altars were tore down, and then here it comes on Jephthah. Why did the Spirit of God come on Jephthah? Why did it move upon him? Look at the verse prior to that. Turn back to Judges chapter number 11. In verse number 29, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. But look in verse 28. Howbeit, the king of the children of Ammon hearkened not unto the words of Jephthah, which he sent him. Remember what Jephthah did? Jephthah tried to reason with the children of Ammon. Hey, what are you doing coming there fighting us, man? We're in the same land we've always been in. We ain't bothering nobody. We in the land God gave us. You trying to act like we stole your land. We ain't stole your land. They still fighting over that land in Israel today. God's people had been given that land. The Palestinians and the rest of the crowd, the Ammonites here, think it's their land. No, it's God's children's land. And Jephthah said, hey man, we ain't trying to start no trouble. This is our land. Stay away from us and there won't be no trouble. You know what I believe? Hey, you can avoid a fight, avoid it. And try to hate reason with people. But if you're going to be a knucklehead and we've got to knock your teeth out, come on. You know, Jephthah said, man, I ain't trying to start nothing, but I ain't scared.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll reason this thing out. You know what Jephthah did? This is why the Spirit of God came upon Othniel. People cried. And God raised up a deliverer and filled him with the Spirit of God and used him to deliver. Right? We need some prayer for the power of the Holy Ghost. Gideon tore down the altars of Baal and God powered them after they cleaned their lives up. And Jephthah, you know what he did? He tried to reason with people. He tried to reason with them people. They didn't want to reason with him, so God gave him the power to destroy him. Spirit of God, you know what you think? Well, I'll just be a troublemaker. God ain't going to empower no troublemaker. You get a little reason head about you, try to do what's right, and when power's needed, God's going to give it to you. Amen. Hey, you ain't got to go out there and start no trouble. We ain't got to go out there and try to start a fight and mess something up. Just go out there and serve the Lord. Try to reason with this world and the Word of God. And when they rise up against you, God will give you power to rise back up and stand.
Amen.
That's what He'll do. Go out in that street corner and preach the gospel tomorrow night. I'm going out there trying to stir up no trouble. Go out there trying to give the gospel to people. And if they want to rise up and try to stop something, God will give you the power to keep preaching and go forward.
Amen.
That's what we need, amen. God empowered him because he didn't try to start nothing. He just reasoned with him and God said, you're going to need something, I'll give it to you. And that's what the Spirit of God does. And he empowered these individuals to do a work for God. So I see, before Jephthah's heartbreak, the moving of the Spirit of God. Number two. Not only do I see a good principle that we need the moving of the Spirit of God in our lives and how we get the moving of the Spirit of God the right way, I see, number two, a good principle that we need, and this is what I call meaning what you say. You know what I do see about Jephthah? The man meant what he said. He meant what he said. Look in verse number 30. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt deliver the children of Israel, children of Ammon into my hand, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth to the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's. He said, it's going to be yours. And I will offer it up for a burnt offering. And Jephthah passed over into the children of Ammon. You know what God did? God delivered them into his hand. Verse 33. And he smote them from the Arier and the Minnith. Verse 34. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house just like he said, I'm going, you deliver, I'm offering it to you. And behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dancing. She was excited to see her daddy home. Some of you, you get home and your children run out the door to see you, glad to see you. Boy, that just kind of thrill your heart. Your kids are excited that you're home from work and glad to see you, hug your neck, jump up in your hands, you know. I imagine that many times he came back and she met him that way and he was happy to see her, but this time he wasn't. And his heart was broke. And he said in the end of verse 35, I have opened my mouth unto the Lord and I cannot go back. Do you know what I see about Jephthah before we get into the thing about what happens here altogether? I see a man that meant what he said. Do you know there used to be a day where a man's word was his bond and it meant when you said something, you done it? Whatever happened to that kind of stuff? Whatever happened to you speaking it and doing it? Now you got to force people to do something, even after they've already volunteered to do something. Amen. Whatever happened, hey, I'm going to do it. And by the grace of God, it's going to get done. Amen. Meaning what you say. Say what you mean. Amen. Hey, let your life be not only in word, but in deed also, the Bible says. Hey, he was a man that meant what he said. We need more people today to go by the old time of economy. Amen. It's a good principle to have to say what you mean and mean what you say. The Bible says, let your nay be nay, and your yea be yea.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you ain't going to do it, say no. If you're going to do it, say yeah. But if you say yes, do it.
Yeah.
Can I say this? If you say no, don't do it. It goes both ways. Do you know why our children in such a mess? Can I just hit on that just for a minute? It's not in my notes. It's just there, you know, kind of my heart and my mind right now, so I just throw it out there. Do you know why your children are in the mess they are? Because you say no and you do yes. We're not teaching them. We're ruining them. And I'm all for spoiling them, especially the little girls, you know. Give them whatever they want. I give them all my candy, you know. But there comes a time if you say something, you need to stick to it. You need to mean business, amen. They need to know you mean business. Even if it hurts, you need to do it. Why? Because you said it. And they need to know you mean what you say, amen. They can stand on your word. If daddy said it, it's going to go. If mama said it, that's what we're going to do. Hey, you need to mean what you say, amen. I don't know if Miss Allison's amen and trying to get Jeffrey or what. I don't know. Amen, amen, amen. She might be saying, oh me, but she's saying amen. She just don't know what she says, amen. She might be trying to say, quit giving my youngest candy when I say don't give him candy. I don't know. Mean what you say. See, I know I figured I'd hit it in a minute, amen. You hit it a dog a bark, won't they, amen? You have to mean what you say. He said, I made a vow to the Lord. I've opened my mouth and I cannot go back. You know what? You tell the Lord you're going to do something, God help stick it out, man.
Yeah.
You know what the devil's going to do? He's going to try to get you to go back on your word. He's going to try to get you to give up. You're going to confess your sin, get right with God. By God's grace, I'm going to serve you. Hey, don't go back and do wrong.
Amen.
God help us, amen, to stick it out. Mean what you say. Could I say you better watch what you say, though?
Amen.
Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 5. Mean what you say. But watch what you say. Watch what you say. You know, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah and all his excitement. He thought, man, if I could just deliver the children. Yeah, you kind of wonder with old Jephthah, the Spirit of God was upon him. So you know he's got some leadership of God there in it, you know. The Spirit of the prophet, subject to the prophet and that kind of stuff. And you know, you hate to even speculate because that ain't even a good way to teach the Bible, you know. Just teach what it says. But you kind of wonder. If here he is, he come back, they've accepted him, and he's thinking, if I could just win this battle, it'll fix all the memories of my childhood where I had all the mess with my brothers that want nothing to do with. You know? It's maybe thinking like that, maybe. And he's thinking, man, this will work. And so he goes to the Lord and said, God, whatever you do, you send to me, I'll offer it to you. Just let me win this battle. Try to mend something in the past. You know, sometimes, you know, there's a little thought there, you know, maybe you try to go to make something right so hard you're willing to destroy something else, maybe. I don't know. Just food for thought. But here he comes. He says, whatever. Of course, he never thought it would be his daughter. Could I say, you never know what you might have to do, so you better watch what you say. How many times have we put our foot in our mouth and said, I'll never.
Amen.
And then you do. Right? Now mean what you say. Get some grit about you. Speak up. Stand up for what's right. Do what's right. Amen. And it's a good principle to have, but you better watch what you say. Ecclesiastes 5, look in verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou comest, goest into the house of God, and be more ready to what? Hear than to give the sacrifice of what? So if I'm to be more likely to listen than I am to give the sacrifice of fools, that must be I need to not open my mouth too much. I think the Bible says something about being swift to hear and slow to what? Speak. Slow to wrath. Look at verse 1 again. Be ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Sometimes you speak and you don't even realize the kind of trouble you're making. How many times have we done that? How many times you said stuff just kind of joshing around, joking around, you know, and then it made a bunch of trouble and you thought, man, that is not my intention there. But now here it is and you got to deal with it. You know why? Because we've gave the sacrifice of fools. We've caused a lot of it. We've all been guilty of it, amen. We need to be slow down every once in a while and kind of watch that tongue. But the Bible said, verse 2, be not rash with thy mouth. And let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. I mean, I think it might would have helped Jephthah, man. Don't be rash. Slow down before you say what you're going to do. Because when he came back, he's a man of his word. He said, I've opened my mouth. I cannot go back. God said, be careful what you say. Verse 2, the second part of that verse, after that colon, you see what he says, for God is in heaven and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be what? Few. Some of y'all probably think the preacher ought to apply these words a little bit, amen? Verse 3, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business. I believe that too. You ever have dreams? I think your dreams come from a lot of stuff you mess around with. It's just a thought, you know. And a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Been better off not even to do it. I kind of think about Ananias and Sapphira after he's seen the benefits that come on Barnabas because he sold his possessions and gave it to the New Testament church to start the work, do the work they did. And they said, hey, we'll give two, we'll sell ours. And they kept back part of it. They didn't have to give none of it. They didn't have to sell a dime. They could have sold it and gave half, been all right. But the problem was they opened their mouth and said, we give an all, and they only gave half. Been better off not to do anything. Better off keep your mouth shut, right? Because to defer to pay it is worse. For we have no pleasure in fools. Verse 5, better it is that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. Jephthah was a man of his word. You got to give it to him. This guy done what he said he's going to do. Might not like what he done. We'll see that he could have had some help. But this guy done what he said he's going to do. Would have been better if he wouldn't open his mouth. He'd have come home with a great victory. He'd have enjoyed it with his daughter when she jumped up into his arms and shouted the victory that, hey, things are going to be better now. We're not going to have it like we used to have. And, you know, we're not outcast by everybody. Everybody loves you, Daddy, for you taking a stand. But it didn't turn out that way. He went from all joy, victory, shouting, excitement, to seeing that daughter and ripping it all out. You ever had times like that? Heartbreak City. So I see the moving of the Spirit. Look back in chapter 11 of Judges. Number one. Number two, I see the meaning, what you say. But number three, I see the missing scriptures. And here's the whole key to the thing. Could I say before I get into the part about the missing scriptures, a little bit about his daughter and Jephthah himself? We've said a little bit about him being outcast and how he became better instead of bitter. But you can tell by the characteristics of this man's daughter that this guy done something right. He done something right. His daughter was raised right. We need some more of that, right? Out there, they didn't have the best. God made him a mighty man of valor, something good at him, but to be an outcast and how he could have grew up bitter and taught it to his daughter and she could end up being bitter and they could have been hateful. Instead, this guy had a walk with God. He had God on his life. He had standards in his life and he raised his daughter right. How do you know that? Look at verse 36. When he looked at her and she come excited, he ripped his clothes as a sense of grief and anguish, rent his clothing, tore up. You ever had your youngest tear your heart up, by the way? That ain't no good feeling, is it? And he rent his clothes in anguish. And he said, I've opened my mouth and I cannot go back. That's what he told her. You broke my heart. You troubled me today. Look what she does in verse 36. It's about just as powerful to me as what he said he would do. And she said unto him, my father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which proceedeth out of thy mouth, for as much as Lord has taken vengeance of thee, of thine enemy, even of the children of Ammon. You know what I see about his daughter? She was meek, she was humble, and she loved God. Well, you couldn't ask more about a child of yours than that, could you? If we could raise some children like that, I'd say we've done something right. Meek, humble, and love God and said, Daddy, whatever God says, whatever you told him, let's do it. What if your children get behind you like that and say, Daddy, whatever you say. If we ain't going to do that, we ain't going to go there, we ain't going to hang around that, we ain't going to listen to that, we ain't going to watch that, I ain't going to wear that. Whatever God says and whatever you want, that's what we're going to do. Boy, you'd have a good youngin', wouldn't you? That'd be great. That'd be exciting. She was a godly, humble, meek girl. She was a good girl that had good friends. That goes a lot, children, tonight. Listen to me. Look in verse 37. And she said unto her father, let this thing be done for me. All right, if you're going to sacrifice, let me alone 2 months that I may go up and down over the mountains and bewail my virginity. That shows me she's a good girl. He come from a harlot. You say, well, if I was raised that way, then that's why we like that. That's what a lot of people like to use. Well, I was from a broken home, and that's why I am the way I am. Get over it, man. I was out of a broken home. You know why I done what I done? Because that's what I wanted to do. We like to blame everybody. It's the blame game. Her daddy was the son of a harlot, and she turned out a virgin. It ain't got nothing to do with your upbringing. It's got something to do with your choices. Thank God there's some good influences, but she turned out a virgin, and he said, let me go up the mountains and the Bible said in verse 39, and it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father who did with her according to the vow, to his vow which he had vowed, and she knew no man, and it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to Lamet, the daughter of Jephthah, the Gilite, 4 days in a year. She said, let me go up and down with my fellows, verse 37. It's a word you use today, my fellas. You call them your homies, you know. My fellas. That's what she called her friends. Do you know what it shows me about this girl? She was humble. She loved God. She was a virgin. And she had good friends that was there with her through her hard times. Boy, that's a good thing to have, ain't it? A good girl with good friends. We need some of that, right? Look in verse 39. The Bible says, "And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned." Look at your Bible now. "Unto her father and who did with her according to his" what? What was his vow? Sacrifice. Now, look at your Bible again. "Who did with her," what's that next word? "According." You see it? Look at your Bible now. I want you to see this. You see that word "according"? You see something about that word in your King James Bible? It's an italicized word. Do you know why the King James writers put italicized words in your Bible? You know, right? I'll remind you. They put them in there because they were not in the Greek and Hebrew originals. So when the King James writers translated your Bible into English, they put them in italicized, showing they was not in the originals. But you know what they were and what they are? They're just as inspired. Every jot, every tittle. This King James Bible got it right. You know what a lot of people do? They take out that word "according" and say because it was in the italicized, he didn't do according to what he had vowed. He just done something different. And they try to take out that word to prove that he didn't offer his daughters a sacrifice. He said he did according to the vow. They say, well, what he did is he kind of, she vowed to be a virgin the rest of her life, and she was a perpetual virgin, and that was the end of it. What in the world? They go and laminate her every morning, every year for 4 days because she's a virgin. Then her friends were coming over there and laminating her because she was gone. She was dead. A good girl, raised right. A family that's maybe going in the right direction. The movement of the Spirit of God's in their life. They're doing what they say they're going to do. God's showing some blessing in their life. And then heartbreak city. I said the third thought tonight was the missing scriptures. Something was missing. What was missing here? Do you know what was missing? It's what's been missing throughout the whole book of Judges. Do you know what's been missing in the book of Judges? You know what you have not seen? We've seen the Spirit of God move upon individuals. We've seen God use individuals. We've seen the children of Israel go back into sin. We've seen God show mercy and raise up a deliverer, a judge is what they're called, and deliver them from their enemies. But you have not and yet to see and will not see throughout the whole book of Judges is the Bible. There's no scripture. There's no scroll. There's no word of God. The word of God is completely missing. Even though Jephthah knew some word of God, he knew some things because when he told the children of Ammon how they got the land and what God had done, he knew those principles. He knew some things in his Bible, but he didn't know all his Bible. You know what's dangerous about this Bible? Knowing some of it. I'm not saying you got to understand all the word of God, but you know what the Bible says? Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you don't rightly divide that Bible, it can ruin your life, is what it'll do. That's why you got people tonight in the Kingdom Hall, in a charismatic Pentecostal church tonight, jibber jabbering something. Why you got people trying to endure in their salvation because they're not rightly divided the word of God. They don't have it all right. They're in a mess tonight. Jephthah wound up in a mess because he had some things right, but he didn't have some important things. That's what we'll see. There was no Bible. The Bible's been missing throughout the book of Judges. And missing the Word of God and the use of the Word of God can destroy your life. You know what happens when there's no fruit of Bible in your life? Hold your place here and look in Matthew chapter number 22. Matthew 22. The fruit of no Bible in your life. You get in a mess without a Bible. Somebody can bewitch you. Twist the truth to your destruction, Peter said. Have you ever messed up? Amen. Many people are messed up like that. Because they know enough Bible to be dangerous. That's what they do. Jephthah knew enough Bible to be dangerous, and that's what's sad. And the Spirit of God used him. Say, Spirit of God uses me, I know all my Bible. I don't mean you know all your Bible. Amen. Look what happened. Look Matthew 22, look in verse 29. The Bible said in verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor what? Do you know what he's talking to? He's a bunch of Sadducees that didn't believe in a resurrection. You know what? They knew some stuff. And those Pharisees knew some stuff. But they didn't have it right. And if you don't have it right, it'll destroy you. You do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Same thing Jephthah did. He erred because he did not know the Scriptures nor the power of God. Look back in the book of Judges. You know what the problem was? Look in Judges 17. Right there, a couple of chapters back, a couple of pages there. Judges 17, verse number 6. You know the story of the book of Judges. It's the whole thing. Here it is. The Bible said in verse 6 of Judges 17, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his what? That's what their problem was. That's exactly what happened. There was no king in Israel. You know what else there was? There was no King James Bible. You say, well, the King James Bible is not until later. I understand that. But you know what's wrong with people today? There's no King James Bible in their lives, and people do what's right in their own eyes. You know what Jephthah thought? Man, I'm just doing what's right. I told God I'm going to do it, and I ain't going back. I commend him for it. We need more people like that. But he was missing some Scriptures in his life that caused the life of his daughter. I commend you for some things you do, but if you're not careful, some of the things you're doing is going to lose the life of your own family. Because you're going to be right. How much Bible have we took and destroyed people that want nothing to do with God because we've used Bible on them? You understand what I'm saying? But we used it the wrong way. And Jephthah used it the wrong way and it cost the life of his daughter. Hey, some of you do things and it was, you know, that's what my mama said. That's what grandma taught me. That's what daddy said. But it's twisting it for you to be destroyed is what it's doing. There's no king. Look in Judges 22. That was the problem. No king in Israel. They did what's right in their own eyes. And people are not heeding the Word of God. They're doing what's right in their own eyes. But they think it's right. That's what's so dangerous. Judges 21, verse 25. I think I said 22 then. Look at the last verse, last chapter. How about that? In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was what? Right in his own eyes. There were Scriptures missing. And the Scriptures that was missing cost him the life of his daughter. Can I say tonight that God's Word should mean more than what you say? Get that from Jephthah tonight. Jephthah said, I've made a vow and I cannot go back. Commend him for it. We spoke about it greatly. We need that. Yay, yay, nay, nay. We need that kind of stuff. But his Word did not mean more than God's Word. You know why we're destroying our daughters? Put it however you want to put it. Destroying our lives because we think our Word means more than God's Word. Look at this. Let me show you this. Look in Job chapter 23. A couple more verses tonight. Missing Scriptures. Job 23. Jephthah's heartbreak. It cost him his heart, man. Job is before the book of Psalms. Job 23. You know this verse, but I want you to see it in this light here. Job 23. Look at verse 12. You see it, you probably could quote it. Job 23:12. What's the first word there? Neither have I gone back from the commandments. Listen to this part. Of what? His lips. Not mine. Not Jephthah's. Jephthah said, I spoke it. I can't go back. You know what Job said? He said this, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You know what's more important? God's words and not ours. We've got ourselves in a mess with our words. And we throw a little Bible with it, you know, and make it sound good. But we're destroying people. They don't want nothing to do with God. Look at Psalms 119. You know, the whole chapter speaks about the Word of God. Right, next book, Job Psalm, Psalm 119. God's words mean more than our words. Get a hold of that tonight. And don't take a little bit of Bible and destroy people with it. Because you're not missing, because you're missing some. You're not rightly divided. You're not getting the whole counsel of it. Pharisees and Sadducees were religious. Had some of the Levitical laws and they had them down, man, but they were destroying people. Making them twofold more child of hell what they were doing. Because of the little bit they knew and the destruction they've done. We've done it. The little bit we've known, we've blasted and tore up and destroyed without having the whole counsel. Cost him his daughter. What will it cost you? Psalms 119, verse 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against what? Jephthah, you don't have to sin against God. Do you know what, according to the Levitical law, that his book taught him that he knew some? He knew about, you know, let your yea be yea. He knew about how God delivered, how the lamb was theirs. He knew some stuff. There's no doubt he knew stuff. No doubt about it. But you know what he was missing? That it was pagan worship and against God's law and a sin to offer a human sacrifice. That ain't right, Jephthah. He said, well, I've said it, but that's not right. Two wrongs don't make a right. You know, we're going to make it right. I'm going to do what I said, but no, it's not right what you said. I commend you for being a man of your word. I commend you for keeping your vow. But hey, if your vow that you make is against the word of God, it's sin. Yeah.
Amen.
The words of his mouth are more important than your words. If you have to eat crow and say, hey, I was wrong.
Yeah.
You know what? That's the problem. We can't admit, I was wrong. I shouldn't have treated you like that. I shouldn't have said that. Humble yourself. Get it right. Suck it up, man. Don't make it worse. Scriptures are missing. And we blast it and destroy it because we're going to be right. What good has it done? What's it benefited? His vow would cause him to sin, which made his vow void. If your vow that he made, hey, whatever comes out, I'm sacrificing it. And it was his daughter. And his daughter, to offer his daughter, which is pagan, which is sin, to offer a human sacrifice. That's what the pagan religions were doing in that day that God was destroying them for, some of them. Molech, offering their children to fire, right? That was a sin. So, hey, you made a vow, but that vow's a sin now. You better back up. He's got Bible for it. You know what he's doing? He was missing that part of his Bible. You know what we're doing? We're missing certain parts. But we got this right.
Yeah, amen.
You know? We're going to reprove, rebuke, you know. We're going to be rough. We're going to speak the truth, you know. But what about speaking the truth with love? What about having a balance? What about some exhortation? You know? What about your speech be always seasoned with salt? You know, we kind of, I'll just speak my mind. Well, sometimes don't speak your mind.
Yeah.
If it's going to cause trouble. Right?
Amen.
Look at Leviticus 5. He could have got out. There was Bible for it, man. Leviticus 5. The problem was, is what I'll show you, is the same problem we have today, just like Jephthah. We're stubborn. Or maybe there's a lack of knowledge. Maybe truth is lying in the street and, you know, we don't even know better. Thy word have a hit in my heart that might not sin against thee. Hide the word in your heart. Leviticus 5, look at verse 4. Or if a soul swear, you see that? Pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty of one of these. And it shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that if he shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing. You know what he did? He made an oath. But when that oath was revealed to him that it was his daughter, that becomes sin. He could have said, hey, verse 6, and he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin, which he hath sinned, a male from the flock, a lamb, a kid, a goat, not your daughter, man, for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And it goes all the way down to verse number 10. All he had to do was bring an offering and sacrifice. Say, hey, I've opened my mouth, God, this oath ain't good. I cannot do this. The Lord made provision for him to get right. Can I say tonight, the Word of God still make provisions for you and I to get right? And we're people just like Jephthah. We might not be offering up our daughters, but we're doing stuff that ain't right. We're breaking the Word of God. And God said, hey, you ain't got to go out like that. Look in 1 John chapter 1 and we'll close right there. You don't have to go out like that. Maybe you've opened your mouth and messed up. Destroyed things. Maybe you're here and you're lost. You got to stay like that. You ain't got to go to hell. Nobody wants you to go to hell. But if you reject God's Son, that's where you're going. But you don't have to. You can get it right tonight. See, I got bad intentions, bad desires, bad things I've been doing. You ain't got to stay like that. You know what he said? 1 John 1:7. The Bible said, let me get there. I'm in St. John. What's the first word there? You looking at it? It's way back there. How did I get up? St. John. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from what? How much?
All.
You say, but. No, God said all sin. You don't know where I've been. But God said all sin. Now, to ask you where you've been, what you've done. It's a mess. Yeah, you've done it, man. Hey, own it. Jephthah, just own it. Don't make it worse. You know what we do? We make it worse. I ain't going to get right. I can't humble myself. People's going to think I'm, that's what we do. And the devil's got you back there in a catch-22. And he's got you backed up in the wall. He's got you in the pickle, they say. And you think, why am I going to run? Just run to Jesus and say, I'm sorry. Look in verse number 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. If we confess our sins.
Amen.
You guilty? Just confess our sins. I'm wrong. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All we needed to do was confess it and move on. Instead, he offered his daughter. That's heartbreak. When you look at the story, you think, man, how in the world? Why? And you know what we say? You know what I say? How? Why? Why do you keep doing it? Why do you keep going back? Why do you know what God's Word said about it? And you know it ain't right. I ain't even got to say it. The Holy Ghost is saying it to you right now. You know it ain't right. Why? And all it's going to do is bring more trouble. More anguish. More heartbreak. Let the Spirit of God move you in the right direction to the repentance. Mean what you say. Get the whole counsel of the Word of God and get forgiveness and serve the Lord. Don't wind up like Jephthah. Heartbreak. Started out heartbreak, ended, man. Heartbreak. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you need to come tonight. Thank God He's a forgiving God. You don't have to stay that way.